Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
everybody. That is the wonderfully talented Shout Even Shy, and Shout did a competition a little ways ago and asked for people to put in some poetry words that she could turn into a song and sing and arrange, and a whole heap of people did it, and the person who succeeded in doing that was none other than my co-host, Jay Hatter. Hi Hatter, how are you?
Just fine, AP. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah, very good. And in addition to that, in addition to Hatter, we always have the head of the group of a team of voices. If you go to All Poetry, you can follow our program and you can get the links of all the poetry. And the person who sits on the fence and watches everybody is none other than Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Okay, how are you, AP?
I am well, thank you. And then we have a whole heap of talented writers and composers and different people who did different things. And one of the people who was a wonderful writer is none other than Wayne Gent. How are you, Wayne?
Fine. Great introduction.
Excellent. No. And so we get out and hang out at allpoetry.com. And you can find us as the group, Attack Voices. And we we have fun during the week. This is an open poetry show. And about the only thing, you know, that we say about that is it can go up to about 350 words. And typically we try to limit all the poets to one poem each so that we can get through the show in 60 to 90 minutes, depending on how many we've got. So that's about as simple as it gets. So, so that's with all of that. Let's get into the program and all the poetry that has come in. And we have got a lot of poetry, yes?
Absolutely.
A lot of poetry. So thank you to all those poets who have gone and put poetry in. And so I think we might kick off, Wayne, with your SoundCloud. What do you think?
Oh, sounds good to me.
Okay. Now, which SoundCloud are we and poem are we using? Wayne, you tell me.
I didn't mean to put two up there. I forgot about the first one, so I put the second one up there. I didn't notice the first one was up there. I like the second one the best. It's had more meaning to it. I don't care.
No, that's cool. And so is that Learning to Plow Again? Is that one?
Yes.
Is that the right one?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of a little meaning to it to me.
Yeah, cool.
To it.
Okay, right over. No, perfect. Well, let's put that in and put that up on the board, which is exactly what we've done. And let me go to the videotape. And like, as always, you've sent me a SoundCloud, is that right?
Yes, I sure did.
Okay. Well, let me just. This is the right one.
I added 12 seconds. So if you don't see it, just refresh.
Yeah. No, I've got it there. So class. So let me play it now. Right? And thanks, Beth.
This is called Learning to Plow Again by Wayne Gent. My life has been like a wide open field. Worked it hard, hoping for a good yield. Always praying for clear blue skies, but clouds would appear with no surprise. Nobody should expect life without storms. My life was no different, had all the norms. When the storms came, I would not quit. The hardest times was when the tornado hit. The divorce was not pleasant. It was hell. It wasn't my ideal. I was put through hell. It destroyed my crops. Lost most of my field. At one time, I thought it better to be killed. The field had gotten shorter. No longer fertile. I had to replow. Jump over a hurdle. The field wasn't worth as much after the storm. I had to look at my future and try to reform. Finally, the clouds departed and the sun would shine. I learned to harvest with what was still mine. It wasn't easy getting rid of all the new weeds, but with a little help, the harvest met my needs. After a decade of tending the field, I am back. This time I have a fence in case there's an attack. Once again, the field is fertile and can produce. I'm not mad about the destruction. There's no use. The flowers of my field are lovely and bright, and the breeze comforts me at night. Now I know sometimes a farmer has to fight. I will continue working my field in God's light. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Wayne, and thank you for that poem. It's interesting because I've spent quite a bit of my time in the country and quite a bit of my time in areas that are not easy to farm and always needing rain. And it is fascinating to me how intricate, how difficult it is to actually crop and how much luck and how much money goes into it at the same time. So I think you got that sense of it across, Wayne. It was really interesting. So thank you.
Thank you for the comment.
Hatter, what did you think of Wayne's piece?
It was the I got it as the metaphor. The storm was the metaphor for the relationship, you know, for the tornado hit and the divorce, and so the hardworking farmer is just the heartache and the plowing through life, and the next growing season is all tended to be all flowery again. A little hope.
You got it. You got it. It's perfect. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know stuff. Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. And a really good comment. And Deb, what did you think of...
You know, I say this a lot, but he's really good at matching the background sound with the poems he writes. And there was a lot of emotion and sadness in lines like the divorce was not pleasant and stuff like that. And all the pieces of his reality and something in that music added to the ache, maybe is a good way to put it. But the one stanza especially, finally, the clouds departed and the sun would shine. I learned to harvest with what's still mine, and the part about what's still mine, you know, you think about the divorce, things being split up, and there's yours, his and hers, and ours, and all the ours are no longer, and trying to figure out who takes it. And after a decade of tending the field, I'm back. I thought there was brilliant metaphors throughout this, Wayne.
Thank you. It's a metaphor all the way through.
Yeah, it's like a very impressive skills with your metaphors today, for sure.
Thank you very much. Great comment.
Thank you, Wayne. Great way to start. And I was going to follow Wayne's piece with a piece from Laurent Montano. He supports the show almost every week, so thanks, Laurent. And this is a piece... from Scotland, following on from the atmosphere and the sense of being on the fields. This is Winds of the Highlands, and it goes a little bit like this. The glint of the morning sun shone faint beside the teeming sky of a nether glen. There's a shadowying that had tarried vain, hovered slowly and freely above me then. Winds brushed his feathers in the wet, and the burr sways and the lock swell. With the urn upon the lone bough yet, beyond the sprack thistles in the dell. By the steady rope that drifted before, I walked yester alongside the old strath, abreast the strength of a gale inshore, treading in my seemingly endless path. I shall wend to the end of a bonny glen, with my feet within the lush grass I stare, feeling a bright light coming from the fen over my sheltered eyes beneath the glare. I shall find afterwards my healing wisely, nigh the breeze blowing upon my forehead, whither the horns of the shepherds bellow lively, those songs of such a winsome bliss ahead. In this behoveful abode I am thus hight, within the bustle of a wheelsome sheepfold, and a glimpse of the lovesome bird in flight, gliding endlessly within a broad threshold. I close my eyes within the southern lowlands, amidst yonder claptons that are my true lady, when I shall fly those winds of the highlands, roaming upon whitish clouds that I now see. Therefore the horns blare behind the rills, unto the rinding lock with their mighty roar, the strains heave upon the lofty hills, and with mine abraded wings, I shall soar in poem. Seth, what did you think of that lovely trail upon the winds of the highlands?
You know, I'm very impressed. This is a couple now that we've heard from his Victorian collection, and he does such a great job of using these old time sounds weird, but these older words and the glossary that he includes is always awesome too. But right from the beginning, the glint of the morning sun shone faint beside the teeming sky of another glen. The just in the first two, you could see the sun trying to peek, but that it would be peeking through, but because of that teeming sky, you imagine that there's rain clouds bursting up there on the glen, and you can often see, it looks like a wall ahead of you when you haven't quite made it up to where the clouds and stuff are, and I got that picture of it showering over the glen. And another, I shall wend to the edge of a bony glen with my feet within the lush grass I stare. And you get the feel of walking through the cool grass with bare feet. And so, like, he set the tone, the feel, the image, and really, really captured it quite well. Again, impressive collection of Victorian poems.
Thank you, Deb. Great comment. Wayne, what did you think of this piece from Lorien?
Oh, man, it's a wonderful poem with great emotion of longing in a proud manner. It's a longing in this poem. Every stanza is wonderful, like this one here. I shall wind to the edge of Bonnie Glen, my feet within the lush grass I stare, feeling the bright light coming from the fen, or the sheltered eyes beneath the glare. That is just lovely. It's great. That's a great stanza. All of them are wonderful. I like this a whole lot. I like the language you used, and it's a wonderful poem. But he's always got wonderful poems. He's a great, great poet.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Just beautifully written. Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, the guy knows how to write poetry. Is the very old school flavor, and that's not an insult. That's a lot of praise. His stanzas are solid. The cadence is perfect. He must be from Scotland, is that right? Do you know?
It's certainly Scottish. It's not Scottish.
Okay.
He's. I've got a feeling he's actually Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh really?
But gee, he can write. Yeah, gee, he can write in Scottish. Cheapest, yeah.
Cool. Well done.
So, anyway, great comment. And following the theme, of which there has been a bit of a theme, this is the next poem's actually also sort of from the farming areas. This is My Heartbeat by Lockdown Larvix, and it goes a little bit like this. Some years ago, with each breath in Rolly bringing, he said that it was time for me to go, but I was woken up by medics singing. Your blood within a thin, you can safely close your eyes, and I trust such an easy wind trepidation awaits my night skies. Drifting into twilight, what will I see? The sun is shining on my pathway, and yet a shadow whispers to me, no worries, we'll meet again one day. In our time, 15 years have since passed, the reaper seems to be well occupied. The treasure in those eyes I clasped, yet I feel soon I may yet again be eyed. Will darkness now chase me to the door? Well, reaper this time I'm happy to meet. Whilst I managed to dodge you before, I'm happy now to have fulfilled my heartbeat. In part. See, so there you go. We're reaping, but it's not a field. That was really interesting, actually, the sense of being ready for something, if you could ever be. Hannah, what did you think? Were you there?
Yakking away.
I was going to say, it was all quiet. You know, I wasn't sure.
I know. This is well thought out. I like the theme that the Reaper was before. You know, we'll meet again one day, sort of embracing the fact that that's a full circle of life, but what's that? Drifting into twilight, what will I see? The sun is shining on my pathway. No worries, we'll meet again one day. Yeah, I'm happy to surrender my heartbeat. Great way to end it. Nice job.
yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Heather. And Wayne, what did you think?
I think this is a wonderful poem written in a classical fashion that is perfect. The timelessness of the poem, it could have been written 100 years ago by the poetry, by the media poetry, and it'd be worked just as good as it does today. It's great, a great poem, well balanced, and the terminology and flow is perfect. You did a great job of this poem. I liked it a lot. I liked the theme of it and the flow of it.
Yeah, absolutely. One great comment. And Ted, what did you think of this one?
You know, I find myself wondering if this is from a personal experience, because it's like I met the Reaper some years ago. With each breath and broil bringing, he said it was my time to go, but I was awoken by medics singing. And you figure, I wonder, like I said, it was something happening to him. Did he almost die? Did they bring him back, type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And drifting into twilight, what will I see? The sun is shining on my pathway, and yet a shadow whispers to me, no worries, we'll meet again one day. And the shadow whispering is another indication that he was almost gone, but he's still here, type of thing.
Yes.
And the ending, whilst I managed to dodge you before, I'm happy now to have fulfilled my heartbeat. And it kind of sounds like I've got to live a long, happy life now, so I'm less afraid, maybe.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really, really good. Lockdown's getting better every time he submits a poem, I think. Not that he wasn't great before, but it just gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I agree. I think just the themes are really interesting there. And that theme has actually taken us to the classic poem for this week, which is by Dylan Thomas, and that is Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. And Dylan Thomas was a poet that was around from 1914 to 1953. This is certainly his most famous poem, and it goes a little bit like this. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end, no dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning they. Do not go gentle, good night. Good men, the last wave by crying how bright, their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight, and learned too late they grieve its honest way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Brave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage against the dying of the light. End poem. Well, there you go, Deb. A nice...
great read.
...strong sort of what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Did you want to talk about about that piece a little?
Actually, this time it's another one from my collection, but instead of thumbing through, I specifically went there just for this one. I was feeling pretty defeated because of something that happened, and the thought of, you know, not giving in, of not going gently, just appealed to me, so I had to go find it. And thanks for reading it.
Absolutely. And I had a response to this poem. You realise that, don't you? I, because many people don't rage; they go gently. And so this is "Go They Gently," Villanelle, in response to Thomas by me, goes a bit like this: Upon a calm presence, pen's glaze, years of pages gathered on table, mourn friends as their signature graze. Into darkness, quietude ways, words of spring rain lightly sable. Upon a calm presence pens glows. These good folk shimmered through dark days, deeds and substance in truth from Babel. Mourn friends as their signature grows. Who filtered sunlight from the greys, observers of strength pass label. Upon a calm presence pens glows. Near to praise followed words to deeds as able. Mourn friends as their signature grows. While people gather and their eyes raise, your great grace abiding stable. Upon a calm presence pens glows. Mourn friends as their signature grows. End poem. Now that's sort of like the opposite, really, in terms of what happens. But for me, I've seen so many people, and not many of them rage. More of them just reach a peace and a final accord. And that's, you know, that was the way that I decided to write it. Wayne, what did you think of that piece?
Well, I like your comment you just made there. It's pretty good. People don't seem to have the rage anymore, which is the way they look at you. They got this stern look that, you know, they're about ready. They could go off. I said, people right now are unhappy, but people have calmed down the rage a little bit. I like your poem. It's a great poem, great flow. It has a great message to it. And I don't know, I'm sitting kind of in days trying to think about how it relates to me. It's a good poem. I enjoyed it a whole lot.
Thank you. What? Hedda, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I was playing catch up because I didn't realize you posted one. I started reading. I thought you were commenting.
Yep.
Then I realized you were reading once. I had to run back to it, and you were pretty much over with it. But I'm always impressed at how you write AP. Funny thing about years ago, do you guys are familiar with Goss? He's a professor. I can't remember his first name. Martin Goss or something. Martin. He's a professor in Egypt or something. Anyway, he was one of the first guys that I started leaning on when I got here at All Poetry.
Mm.
And, he was critiquing my work. He was impressed on some of the things, on some of the angles I would take. And he told me, he goes, you know, very, very much like Dylan. And I took Dylan as Bob Dylan. And I went, wow, okay. It was years later, because I've always remembered that he told me that. And I go, he's talking about Dylan. He talked about Dylan Thomas. I'm sure he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've also just...
Yeah, no, thanks, Heather. And those critics and things you do remember when people take the time to actually look at the poetry and read through it. So, Deb, what did you think?
You know, I thought it was a great angle to go with as a response to that poem, since he's, like you said, he's going with the do not go. And then it is surprising how many just curl up in the corner and take it instead of trying to fight back. I like the way you went. And into darkness, quietude ways, words as spring rain lightly sable upon a calm presence, pens glazed. And it's just like, you know, they're just done. Who filtered sunlight from the grays, observers of strength past label upon a calm presence, pens glaze. It's sad to think of how true it is. And you and your villanelles, they're always excellent. It's a great choice for this, is because they're usually pretty emotional, and this definitely is.
Yes.
So way cool. And I see it was once upon a front page pick too. And I don't think I did it. So congrats on that.
No. I actually quite like this one. I think it's because it's kind of, Dylan Thomas is the famous one, but this seems to be more what sort of happens. But anyway, I have something to completely change the mood. I'm sitting in Melbourne, Australia at the minute, and it's the Grand Prix, the Formula One Grand Prix down here this afternoon. And I don't know whether it's the Grand Prix, or I don't know what the heck it is, but we have had birds appear. And I wanted you to play, I want to play a little clip of what they sounded like last night as I was waiting to go to dinner. So just bear with me. Here we go. Hundreds upon hundreds of flights of birds, and these are cockatoos, and they
were they sitting up on the wires out there?
Sorry, I had it.
When I was there, you got to realize that the magpies that in Australia, they actually sing songs.
Yes.
They actually are where magpies up here are more of a squawker. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm asking, are they? Yeah.
They just squawk at them in great, great numbers. They're very solid birds, like white and yellow crests, sulfur-crested cockatoos. And they are, they're down around me at the minute, and hundreds of thousands of them. And so I just thought I'd give you a sense of what they sound like, because they are not at all lyrical like magpies that we have normally around, but actually do sing. They just screech at you, Adam, in great numbers. So this is Sweeping Above, and it's about cockatoos. It goes a bit like this. They don't announce their presence as with other birds. There is no subtlety when they appear. Instead, as squadrons of fighters, they veer, and their squawks heavy, like the tumbling of herds. Down invisible runways, three and four abreast in formation like arrows in the sky, passing through different vectors nearby, each flight covering the last by their wings crest. Layers of noise crashing as their arcs of wings crowd, smothering any competing noise. If anything living or lyrical with poise, lost to cockatoos, and their assembly fiercely loud, end poem. What did you think of the cockatoos?
Well, the cockatoo sound, I'm picturing these beautiful birds that you know, like we all have this one from Beretta, and it was so sweet, and it danced, and then you think, wow, they're gorgeous. And then you hear this sound, which sounds like you're about to be attacked by prehistoric critters, and it's like a contrast of what my brain thought this should sound like, because of the sound of my backyard birds. Well, your backyard birds scare the hell out of me. I'd be running to duck for cover, not sure what was coming at me. And that's to the sound clip. And the poem, I like how it starts out, they don't announce their presence as with other birds. There is no subtlety when they appear. Very true.
Yeah.
They're squawk, heavy, like tumbling feet of herds. And that's a really, really excellent comparison, because you could imagine the stampede, and it would be just as loud and scary and as stuff as that flock of birds coming at you. So I thought this was quite clever.
Thank you. Tata, what did you think of the cockatoos?
Cockatoos? All the birds?
Sorry, Hannah.
What kind of birds were they? Were they cockatoos?
Sulfur-crested cockatoos. Yeah, sulfur-crested cockatoos.
Really?
Yeah, they're it's unusual to have them in the city. Very, very common out in the countryside. Just at the minute, they are bloody everywhere.
Do you have cormorants down there? Cormorants?
Cormorants? Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
cormorants. Typically near the water. You've seen patterns of the common birds we have here are the magpies, and they're quite lyrical. You know, they sound really quite funky.
Yeah.
You know, I've just put a picture of a sulfur-crested cockatoo on the board, and they come in, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds and thousands.
Really? That's cool.
So gorgeous.
Cormorant. When Joy, my roommate, and I were living up with the rich and famous.
Yes.
One night, I was asleep, and she went out on the deck, and this was a beautiful, beautiful three-story house on the lake, and she had heard something that frightened her enough to where she ended up running into the house and tried calling me, but I was asleep. So she tells me the next time I see her that she had heard this blood-curdling sound from the trees just below the house there, which would have been about eye level to where she was. I said, well, I'm sure I would recognize it. I thought I could recognize any sound from the woods. That's why that might stop me down. So I grew up. The next night, she was Joy was off. So I was up there alone, and I heard this thing outside my door, and I swear to God, it sounded like a mammal, like an animal, up high up in the tree and screaming. And there's a story that goes along with that. I'll tell that later. But the cormorant can give a call. It's more like a like being lovesickness, the heart felt. But in doing that, it sounds mammalian. It sounds animal. And I swear to God,
right?
The hell out of us. You call it the lake. We were living on the lake, and it was a lake monster. So we got all sorts of stories about it, and it's hilarious what I ended up doing. But cormorants are very loud, very loud, and can be a little annoying when you get them all gone.
Well, there you go. I didn't know that. Think you had it. That's intriguing. And Wayne, did you want to say something about the cockatoos?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The sound, the music you played at first, the sound of the birds taking off, set the mood for the poem, and that added to the poem a whole lot. And the sound and the sound and the poem together, I had to lower my head. I thought the birds might hit me in the head. It was so realistic. You detailed it with detail. Coming in was perfect. The noise was perfect. And this is good writing. You had a good entertaining section. I like the both of them together. It sounded good. Be good on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan. Great comment. And I, just for the fun of it, I'm now going to do a random animal. Here we go. Let's see if we can get this, if people can hear this. We'll probably come up with an ad first. Oh, yes, it does. Jesus Christ. KFC, yes. There you go. Always going to happen, wasn't it? Okay, let's live with it. Let's see if we can get it. KFC, there you go. Try this. Come on, animal. Make a sound. Okay. Did you hear that? Question. Which animal was that?
Dead.
That was crazy.
What animal was that?
I don't know.
Hannah, did you want to have a guess as to what animal that was?
The cane toad?
It's not a cane toad. Don't be right. Cane toads do sound like that. But no, it wasn't a cane toad. Wayne, what did you think that animal was?
It sounded like some kind of a baby bird. A stork type bird, the way it was flopping around, the way it was talking, I think it's a baby bird. A baby stork like bird.
Good guess. Good guess.
Polar bear. Polar bear.
Hatter. Full points.
That
was koala.
Koala bear, yeah.
I don't know how you guessed it, but that was a koala. Firstly, a young koala calling its mum, and secondly, the one great grunt. So,
cool.
There you go. Your time down here. Well spent, Adam. That was a koala. Congratulations.
I would have never guessed.
Yes?
They boom. They boom.
Got it right.
Right.
Had it got it right.
They told me.
It
they
was
boom.
A koala.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So, bingo, Hatter. Full points. I don't have a koala farm, but I just thought, you know, because nobody would guess that. But, of course, Hatter did, so there you go. Okay, now, let me think, what am I going to do next? This is always a matter of who might be calling up, Deb. So I'm going to do Lawrence 67, and I'm going to do his first poem, yeah, the one that he gave us.
I have a question.
And then
you put Jenny on the board.
Yes. Oh, you're probably right. I did put Jenny up on the board. You're right. In that being the case, I should do Jenny. So let me go back to the videotape and do Jenny the Deep, who also does support our show exceptionally well. And this is Call Me Crazy One More Time. And it goes a little bit like this. I dare you to call me crazy. You'll regret it. Me, you don't want to pick. You have yet to see my volatile vernacular. So recline and watch something spectacular. Angrily gaslighting me to get your way is not what's going to make me stay. Like a fly resting on echoing walls, I'm worn. As yesterday's issues linger through the morn. Today, you say, I'm acting exuberantly crazy. But then, like last night, you say I'm exceptionally lazy. Nothing I do seems to satisfy you. So with these words, I'll leave you to stew. End poem. That's fun. I like that. Deb, what did you think of Jenny the Deep's poem?
You know, for starters, there are those people that you just can't please. Nothing you do, doesn't matter what you try, you just cannot satisfy that person. And so it takes me back to the title. Call me crazy one more time. I dare you to call me crazy. You'll regret it. And it's just, I feel like this came from her heart and soul, and it's true, and that it's about somebody that she deals with that she just, no matter what, please. I think she did a great job with three stanzas. Wow.
Great. It's short and to the point, but it's absolutely to the point. Hatter, what did you think of this piece by Jenny?
Well, the beginning was great. I mean, go ahead, call me crazy, see what happens, you know. When you push somebody too far, you had enough. Very well done for such, like I said, three stanzas.
Yeah, a lot in it. Very well done. Wayne, what did you think of this piece?
Well, I think she had her full of this person, and she's gone, and there's no chance of returning. There's lots of emotion and determination in this poem, and I think she's made her mind up on this, and she did a good job writing. It's good, written real well, and a good poem with determination.
Yeah, agreed. And in the author's note, she talks about being gaslit and gaslighting, and that's a horrible place to be, where somebody is trying to make you feel awful and manipulate you, and clearly that's what the poem was about. So very well written, thank you. Now, Hatter, did you have a piece that you wanted to do this week?
I would have to go to the run to the vault real quick.
Okay. That's perfectly good. That's why I was suggesting it, Hatter. So, okie doke. Well, what I might do then, while you're doing that, is grab the piece by Dave Muddy, which is written in memory of the airmen from New Zealand and Australia who fought during World War II. So I'm going to put that up on the board now. And this is The Wounds of Freedom by Dave Muddy. And it goes a little bit like this. Airmen committed to the cause, battling foes amidst bleak stars. Brave to the call of the nation's plea across far lands and distant sea. Innocence lost at greatest cost. Searching blue skies for freedom's coat. Be clouds of beauty, courage blooms, alive through their duty. Lives surrendered in the heavens, cruel shadow of mankind's weapons. Wounded flight on a sight. Protection of justice beckons. Loved one's grief greets the early dawn. Look to the sky with hopes forlorn. Fathers and sons beneath the ground, graves of the fallen now are found. Morning's sad breath confronting death, the price of war, may we heed its sound. Remember them in thought and deed, honour give in how we proceed. Respecting the life that they lay down, the value of peace we daily crown. Dismiss the sight, regain true sight. Our pride's wrath in our sacrifice drown. A scarlet hue now stains the earth from blood that flowed to give new birth. Freedom's dance now for all to claim. Amazing grace through Jesus' name. Rejoice and sing, all praises bring. On bended knee, let his love reign. End poem. Hatter, what did you think of that poem by Dave?
Very, very limerical. A miracle.
Yeah.
I love the structure of it. It stayed true through the whole thing, so it was thought out.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, very good piece.
It was a very good piece, and you're right. It chose its style, and it stayed truthful and honourable to that style, which is hard to do. Wayne, what did you think of this piece?
I think it's a wonderful tribute poem in a prayer form. It's like you were saying, a prayer to the people, and it has overwhelming respect for the fallen soldiers. He has a lot of respect and a lot of good feelings toward them. And it's sad, but it's a good poem about the way it is, and putting respect and what happens with families and people die and in the mourning of the death of the soldiers. It's kind of a good poem all the way through. I liked it.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, agreed. Deb, what did you think of this post?
You know, I think it's probably because of the number of Anzac Day shows that you've done, but at the end, as it ended on bended knee, let his love reign, and I felt the need to say, lest we forget, which I know is, you know, I learned from those shows as well, saying or phrases.
Yeah.
But the fact that he gives you these details about this airman and how committed he was, and he's up in the clouds fighting for freedom from the sky, and you're remembering him and honoring him, and a scarlet hue now stains the earth from blood that flowed to give new birth. What a profound two lines that is towards the end. And then you get down, comment on this part, into his author's note, where it says, auto rank tells me that courage is a weak word. Now, there's an oxymoron, if ever there was one. I actually like the fact that he included that in there, but very patriotic, very respectful, very much an honor and tribute to that airman. Great share.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to put context to it, in the Battle of Britain, where, you know, there were 2,000-3,000 pilots, 450 were Australian and 138 were from New Zealand. So that just gives a sense of numbers and how many very young people were involved. So there you go. Deb, we've got a Hatter. Hatter, you've got a poem up on the board, I see.
Going up there.
Did you want me to read it, or did you want to read it?
I want you to read it, please.
Oh, we can do that. Well, this is a poem by Jay Hatter called Tell Me Why, and it goes a little bit like this. Let me stay where I am alone. I am not who you think I am. Speak of how I have no home. Ask them if they understand. Tell me why. Why have you come to me now? Shaded corners hide the doors that lead to a crowded room. Darkened halls will light the way, following the sweet perfume. Lead me down the cellar doors until the calm returns. Bottles crashing upon the shore, to whom it may concern. Tell me why. Why do you come to me now? End poem.
Thank you.
That questioning matter. Tell me why. Why have you come to me now? It's really interesting. Wayne, what did you think of this poem by Hatter?
Well, I think a lot of emotion. It's a sad poem of the moodiness of the homeless person, wondering why it took so long with someone that still show up, and you know, he's wondering why did he show up now? This deep poem, it says a lot of sadness to it, and I enjoyed it a lot. But what's a sad topic? Great job with Hatter.
Was sad. You
Thanks,
did well. Absolutely. Deb, what did you think of this piece?
On a side note, real quick, before I comment, Dave Muddy is listening, and he thinks that you did a great job reading for him.
Oh, thanks. And thank you, Doug.
And Hatter, I was looking at the end of this one. And I don't do this too often, but I left a one-word comment and says, damn.
I saw that.
Yeah. Between the photo of your brain scan and then the let me stay where I am alone. I'm not who you think I am. There's just such a sad, overwhelming sense of loneliness and fear even. In it, definitely one of your more powerful brevities.
Thank you. Yeah, who else, you know, carries around their X-rays of their brain?
Not many.
Nobody
no,
else I know.
Not many.
I lost Martin.
You see the damage.
Yeah. No.
In that picture.
Yeah, it's a. It's a great place, Adam. It just makes you think, you know. Whichever part of it you look at, it makes you think. And that's what great poetry is about. So.
Thanks, AP. You got it well. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Okay, well, I got a poem from Pretty Bird, and I wasn't sure if you were going to call in, but I sort of think now that we've got towards the end of the first hour that I might read that if you think that's the way to go.
Yeah, like I said, she didn't leave a message as to whether she needed a reader, and
no.
What's the worst? She calls and we get to hear it twice, and she reads it the next time.
Well,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, I think. It would be great to hear Pretty Bird read this piece because I always enjoy not just her poetry, but the way that she actually reads her poetry. So in the absence of Pretty Bird, I'm going to read her piece, which is called Everyone Misses You and I Ache by Pretty Bird. And it goes a little bit like this. Not one to believe I am more than I'm worth. Just the weight of a memory once married to your words. But even that changes on a whim. Carried blindly on dreams left under my pillow in the shape of kisses and broken promises I fall fightless. Again, the tears that bladed through breastbone crawled in acrid truths on my tongue. Tango and silhouetted penmanship bonded in the raw flesh of wounded words. A killer with shot of a glance, gleaming hollow point affection. What's in the name when the soul is written in braille? I found myself in honest tones, pieces grown in a vacuum, a parallel truth, familiar in narrow ore. Not one to believe I am more than I am worth, just the weight of a memory once married to your words. Now, everyone misses you, and I ache. End poem. Actually found that hard to read because it was just something raw and something pained about that poem. Deb, did you think of a pretty bird piece?
Yeah, you know, these are when people read or hear poems by Pretty Bird, it's one of those times where you want to say, I dare you not to feel. Because, yes, she's capturing her own feelings and emotions in these, but she always does them in such a way that it hits the reader, too, and you can put yourself in her shoes, and you're taken to what might have been your person or your circumstance. And the one couplet, carried blindly on dreams left under my pillow in the shape of kisses and broken promises. Sorry, Hatter. I fall flightless again. And each couplet is just, I found myself in honest tomes, pieces grown in a vacuum, a parallel truth. I mean, it's just emotional and powerful and heartfelt, and wow, and I could hear in your voice that the emotions that she was portraying here captured you because they came out in your voice. So great read.
Thank you, Deb. Hatter, what did you think of this piece by Pretty Deb?
Did you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you now. Yep.
Okay. Make sure. Yeah, Pretty Bird, she's got a way. I mean, there's a jewel in every one of these stanzas. Just the weight of a memory once married to your words, carried blindly on dreams left under my pillow. Tears that bladed through breastbone crawled. A tango in stilettoed penmanship. And there was one killer one at the end. What's in a name when the soul is written in braille? She's got a, what's the word? Tentacle? I can't remember. Where you're able to reach, extrastensile. Is that the word? Anybody help me?
Real?
I mean, her thought pattern, her way she writes, she's able to go to that place and bring it back and share it. I'm always impressed with her.
She really finds a way of engaging you as a reader and doing it in an amazingly emotional way. Yeah,
it was when the metaphor wars start, I want her on my team.
No, she's cute. And Wayne, what did you think of Pretty Bird's piece?
As it were, the emotion in this poem took me back to a point where I couldn't comment for a bit. It was so personal. It was personal, and the feelings caught all over me. It's like I'm still trying to get my thoughts of the sadness in this poem around my thoughts. I like what you said, the name. What's the name when the soul is written in braille? Great way to get a point across. The openness and personal feelings in this is just so remarkable. And I feel her agony all the way through the poem. Just a great poem all the way through. Yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Great comment. Where are we? And okay, cool. Right up. So, just looking at your comment, Deb, and I agree. So, what we will do is do, we've got three poems, Titus, Lawrence, and then Titus, and then Lawrence, and we might finish with Wayne and your second poem. So, I think that's what we'll do.
AP, hey, I got to call back in. I'm losing functions on
okay.
my phone, so I'm going to call back in.
Okay, no problems at all. Okay, thanks, Hatter. Okie doke. So we've lost Hatter temporarily, I think, yeah. So let's grab the next poem, as they say in the classics. Okay, so Deb, help me for a tick because I'm just trying to get myself to the
okay, we have
place.
I think you put David on the David's on the board, so we'll do you read that one,
yeah.
And then we'll play.
Yeah.
We'll read.
Titus.
Well, you can read for Lawrence, and then we have Wayne and Titus.
Yeah.
Are the last
okay.
two.
Okay, no problems at all. Okay, so let me read then the poem by Dave Poppett. Great to see Dave on the board. This is Hurricane in Black, and it goes a little bit like this. Storm warning. She circles the eye of the storm, the massive low-pressure system spawned up over the Atlantic. She's the spirit of the sky. She causes the wind to blow. Her mane long to the shoulders, black as coal, black as night. Black as the universe, there's cubic parsecs between planets and stars, glistening blackness, tangled and twisted up. She doesn't see it, but I do. Handsome beyond all measure, beautifully punctuated by all the stars of the universe, perfect symmetry so rare. Nothing lopsided, nothing to fear. She's the kind of spirit all men should see. One time in their lives, she's the definition of such. She is my dear friend. I'm blessed to know her. Alabaster skin against her black hair, so stunning on her, so rare. She is the wondrous enigma that shines in your memory's hoard, a collector of your thoughts and sigma. Her summation snatches the lost chord. You will never meet her equal, for there is none. She's the beginning and ends all sequels. She's the butterfly embroidery and fine spun. I'll be the son of a gun, never seen the likes of her. She makes my thinking machine come all undone. I like that part of her, what's not to like, in these times that are and all those that were. She knows how to take me, friends we shall always be seen. She's the kind of woman all men wish they knew at least once in their lives, so beautiful, so true. She's the huntress. She's the eye of the storm. Her heart so dauntless, I should be so lucky. Still, she is my friend. So my luck runs a different path. Her kind words always mend. The line feelings she blends. Another poem dedicated to my lady. You know who you are. End poem. Yeah, that's it. That was fun. I liked the Hurricane in Black. What did you think?
Well, you know, this is the 19th poem that he's written for me.
Wow.
And I by the time you were done reading, or when I read it the first time, I was, you know, of course, smiling because he does with stuff like "She's my dear friend," "I'm blessed to know her," and I mean, he's always full of compliments and always telling me how much fun he has on the shows and what a good job he thinks I do and what a great friend he thinks I am. I don't get more comments like that from anybody except maybe Wayne. The two of them are always sending me these great messages, and it's very appreciated, and this is a gorgeous piece. And like I said, 19 that he's written. Thank you, David.
Excellent comment. Thank you, David. And Wayne, what did you think?
I said, wow, what a wonderful love poem. It says perfect flow and worded so wonderfully. He admires this lady greatly. I didn't know it was a Deb, but really I should have known because it's described perfectly. Great, great job, this. And it caught me kind of sit by surprise because it's a little different than most of the poems he writes. And this is a very, very well done poem. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely, Wayne. Yeah, great comment. And Hatter, you're back with us. Did you hear the piece?
Yeah, Dave can reach back, and I'm blown away. This is probably one of his best. And
great.
Yeah, I had to look again to see if we were reading Dave's.
Yeah, no. Very quickly. So
I could go and start reading lines. I could go start reading lines, but Deborah would start blushing.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, great. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for sending it in. And appreciate it. Now, I'm going to do next a poem by the wonderful English author Titus. And Titus has supported the show week after week, really, so thank you. And he always does us the joy of reading his own poetry in a beautifully produced SoundCloud. So I'm now going to grab that SoundCloud and play that. And we will come back shortly.
Polisek, worlds apart, Don Sondag en plein air. Whether poet, painter, sculptor, with heart are we to make a name for, be it ourselves to stand upon that plinth, still worlds apart, remembered best to go, and while art it delves to dignify his plinth, his spirit is praised. Beyond dreams to whom an age-old cromlech stands, before we find a larger-than-life raised, then lifting his head he'd spake, did Polisek. Museums within the grounds, gardens, artists who are gathered here, fill us with a purpose. Poetry, paintings, many works of art do exist as soul bearer. The liturgy of love he bestows, he'll need not face you left, nor will he right. A man who was forward in his thinking, three, given the confidence of the man will delight in creating futures for us, now as then did he.
And thank you, Titus. I mean, it's wonderful that this piece goes back and talks about the Winter Park paint out and the Polisek Gardens, and more importantly, to a dedication to Mark Andrew J. Terry, and he's been involved for years in that competition, and recently we as a group, the team of voices, have sponsored that competition, and I have the great honour of being a judge last year. So, Deb, did you want to say something about this piece?
Yeah, for starters, I agree. It was really cool that he put the nod to Mark in here with it. And the painting that he chose, Worlds Apart, an anthem, look at that. And then we get down, whether poet, painter, sculptor with heart, are we to make a name for it, be ourselves? Sometimes we're so busy trying to impress someone or do something the way somebody else wants to, we forget to just be ourselves. Usually that's the best way we come across when we portray natural truth. So I like that part of it. And to dignify whose plinth his spirit is praised beyond dreams, to whom an age-old cromlech stands, before we find a larger-than-life raised when lifting his head, he spake, did Polisak. And I didn't know that that's who the actual sculptor was. I've seen glimpses through the contests over the years, and I like that he homed in on that and took us on the journey. And I like it towards the end, too. He need not face you left, nor will he right. A man who was forward in his thinking, given the confidence of a man with delight in creating futures for us now, as then did he. I just like the way he worded it. I like the tribute aspects of it. It's really a fabulous piece. And we're getting close to it being time for the next one. So I like that he pulled this one out.
Yes.
To bring it to people's minds.
Absolutely.
Great share, Titus, as always.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, absolutely. Chatter, did you want to say a few words about Titus's piece?
Yeah, Titus, what can you say? I mean, I like that it's dedicated to Mark Terry. He runs the paint out. Just so good. And you could just go on and on how he writes. The picture he picked, was this last year's entry, or is this this year's entry?
I think it might be
2022.
2022, there you go.
When does it start, Deb?
It's usually every April.
It is.
So
it's about,
we'll have to see.
About 2-3 weeks, I think, Deb.
Yeah.
Not long away.
Yeah. So we'll have to keep an eye out, and I'm going to reach out to Mark, too.
Oh, cool. Very good, Tyus.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you. And Wayne, what did you think of that piece by Titus?
I think it's another wonderful piece. He did great. It's a great tribute to past artists. He mentions one of them in the AEN. He mentions Emerson in the AEN. He has such great respect for the past great poets. And it's just amazing. He brings their muse forward perfectly. And his voice is kind of, or his poems is kind of like the way they would write their poetry. There's definitely proof of him looking back at them and talking about their work. I guess they should, because he's part of them. You just like them. But anyway, it's a great poem, and he did good with this poem. Great honor.
Yeah, no, agreed. And a great poem, and also a great reminder to us all about the wonderful work that Mark Andrew Day Terry does. And as I said, hopefully we'll be back and connected to the Winter Park paint out this year. So keep an eye out for that in the next few weeks. Okay, so I'm now going to the piece by Lawrence 67, and this is called When You Are a Trained MMA Fighter, and it goes a bit like this. When you're a trained MMA fighter at a restaurant, waiter, well, hello, I'm your waiter, may I take your order, please? MMA, waiter, no, I only just want to take your order. Will you be dining alone, or will somebody be joining you? MMA. What? No, so you think I need to help to kick your ass, do you? Well, no, the braised chicken's very tender. Oh, so you think I'm chicken, do you? No. How about the prime rump roast? It's a favourite here. No, so you want to kick my rump, do you? No, but here's your bill. Oh, so you think Bill will help you, eh? You can bring Bill, Joe, George, if you want. I'll whip a lot of you. I quit. You better quit. Tap out, fool, before I put you in that sleeper hold. Oh, good grief. In pop. I don't know how he does it. He comes up with the sort of weirdest, strangest subjects, and he sort of turns them into a way to get humour out of it. It's amazing. Wayne, what did you think of Lawrence and his piece?
Oh, he always has great comedy. He's always got some situation going on where, you know, it's not really nothing major happens, but it's just enough to where, you know, it's comical. He does a great job of comedy. That's one of the funniest poets on the fight. And I'm glad he did, because my next poem was kind of a comedy too, so broke the ice a little bit. And he did a good job of this.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah, thank you for that great comment. And Hannah, what did you think?
Yeah, I think he was sitting there watching the shorts on YouTube and get those MMA little videos pop up. But the caliber of athletic ability that those MMA fighters possess is unheard of. These guys know what they're doing. Don't mess with them. Remember of a story that when it was like 1:30 in the morning or 2:00 in the morning, these two guys, two MMA fighters, standing at the desk of this hotel trying to get checked in, and this guy comes in to rob the place. Yeah, then he didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
There were two MMA fighters standing there. Yeah.
Yeah. Scary stuff. So, no, thank you, Hatter. And Deb, what did you think of Lawrence and this piece?
You know, he always has such a fun way of entertaining us with the back and forth conversations and sometimes sound effects and I like this with the attitude. What was the one part? You think I need help to kick your ass? Do you? I mean, just they're always fun and the where is it? No, but here's your bill, MMA. Oh, so you think Bill will help you? It's just just friendly humor, but conversation style. And conversations aren't easy, so I think he does a great job with them.
No, I agree. It's not easy at all. So, okie doke. Thank you, Lawrence, as always, for helping us and supporting us. And we're going to finish with Wayne, your second piece. I can't tell if this is hell and... We have a SoundCloud for that. I'm going to play it now.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is called I Can't Tell If This Is Hell by Wayne Jin. I finally died. What an ordeal. Carefree and happy is the way I feel. Without a body, I'm cruising through space. I don't need a mirror. I don't have a face. This can't be heaven, there's no ghost street. I know it's not hell, there's hardly any heat. This place is comfortable, I have no fear. I don't see anyone else, I'm the only one here. I'm never hungry, I don't have to eat. Can't play any games, there's nobody to beat. I never get tired, I don't have to sleep. Can't get in a hurry, there's no appointments to keep. No one can call me. There isn't a phone. Looks like I'm spending eternity all alone. How long I've been here? There's no way to tell. I might be wrong. This could be hell. Ian?
Well, that was a nice way to finish. It's sort of intriguing, really. I'm not quite sure where I am, but, you know, it's not too bad. And, you know, it could be heaven, but... Maybe it's hell. I don't really know. I thought that was fun. Deb, what did you say?
Yeah, no, the whole poem was great, but I really love the ending. No one can call me. There isn't a phone. Looks like I'm spending eternity alone. And right there, you kind of feel really sad about the eternity alone and then how long I've been here. There's no way to tell. I might be wrong, but this could be hell. Well, that made me giggle because, being stuck for eternity alone with no contact, that definitely sounds like hell to me. This can't be heaven. There is no gold street. I know it's not hell. There's hardly any heat. I mean, it was priceless. Like Wayne, really fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good fun. Tanner, you've got the last words on Wayne's post.
Well, everybody knows that hell is a waiting room. I don't know how many times, how long I've spent in a damn waiting room.
Yes, it is. This is the truth. Get me out of here. Thank you. Quick comment. Enjoy your show tonight. Great show.
Yeah. No, thank you, Hatter. So, I'd like to thank everybody for being part of the show today, and I'm going to hand over to Deb to talk about what's coming up on A Team of Voices. Deb?
I would love to. So we are off tomorrow, but on Monday we continue with the color series for Personal Prompt Monday with me at 10 p.m. This week the art and the color is white. Some amazing pictures there. You just click and check them out. I'm putting them on the board. And on Tuesday night, I don't see the start time, so let's just assume it's around 9. It'll be Sky with her continuation of Musical March. Tuesday is the Sound of Music, and Wednesday is the Music of Enyor, probably also 9 o'clock. And then on Thursday at 10, we'll hang out with Sweet Pea, and I do not know her topic yet because I don't see her board. And on Friday at 9, we are back with Hatter and the strange world around us. He usually comes up with some pretty fascinating stuff to entertain us. And then that ends us right back here, same time, same bat channel, for Mr. A.P. Taylor and Open Poetry at 9 on Saturday. There's a week at a glance.
Thank you very much, Deb. And thank you to Deb for hanging with us for the hour and a bit. Thank you very much, Wayne, for being with us the whole time. It's been a pleasure to have you and your comments. And thank you, Hatter, for joining us here. So,
yeah, thank
and
you.
Thank you all to all the great poets who support the show and come up with links and tremendous group that we have here and wonderful talent. So my thank you to everybody. We will be back next week at the same time, same bat station, same bat channel. But until then, have a wonderful week, and we'll catch everybody back next Saturday. So thanks all for your contributions. It's been much appreciated.
Great show. Love and respect, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Hatter. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Wayne. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.